This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
All hail King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are in our midst today. That you are with us. Thank you, Jesus, what you've done for us at the cross. And thank you, Father, that we can run in those arms which are wide open for us. That you want to be with us. Father, we can only thank you. We can only thank you, Jesus Christ. We can only thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our lives. To you all the glory and to you all the honor. Thank you, Father, that we can praise your name, that we can glorify your name over here today, that we can practice what we're going to do in heaven forever and ever and experience your presence. And maybe there's something that happened earlier today or maybe on the way over here which is getting your attention away. You're thinking about it. Father, we cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. That the enemy is not going to steal our attention, but that we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon. What is on your heart and what you want to put on our heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Like you could see on a Thursday evening, we're always going to evangelize. And when we evangelize, then we speak to the people and we ask them, what do they think about Jesus? And then we get reactions from them and then they talking to us. And where I want to start today with, based on that title, the church, my church, where's my church? God is asking us, where's my church? Is that I spoke to a Catholic person. And I asked him, I said, are you sure you're going to heaven? And he said, yes, he's sure he's going to heaven. I said, okay, why are you going to heaven? And he said, because I believe in Jesus Christ. So I would just say, okay, 100%. His ticket is booked. But then he said, but also because I'm a member of the Catholic Church. And I thought, wait a moment, that's a new one for me. I haven't seen that one in the Bible yet. That you've got to be a member of a Catholic church as well, or a member of a church before you can go to heaven. Now, I can tell you, and specifically those visitors, we're not issuing certificates over here as Shofar Church that you go to heaven. No, we don't do that. We only issue glasses over here that you see who God is and that you can see who God has got to be in your life. That's what we are doing. Certificates, we don't do that. But it was interesting that Catholic person said his church, the structure, was so important for him in his relationship with God that he saw it as part of his total salvation. The encounter too, what we had 2 weeks ago, we also asked that question. How do you see the church? And then you get different answers. Well, we actually asked them, can you compare the church? Do you see the church as a cathedral, as a factory, or maybe as a school? Or do you see the church as a prison, or a house, or a barracks for army people? Or maybe as a picnic, the church, that you come on a Sunday and have a picnic over here? Concentration camp. There are no walls around here with barbed wire, but people see it sometimes. They can experience a church like that. Or a playground, it could be a battleground, it could be a battleship, it could be a train station. But people have got different perceptions about the church. And this is what I felt that the Lord is putting on my heart, or he's actually putting on our heart this afternoon, what he wants to talk about. What is it? What is church? And then he's asking, my church, where is my church? Do we really know what the church has got to be and what God wants us, what we as church should be? If we take a look at the word church and we take a look at the Bible, then we only find it in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were mainly talking about synagogue. And as soon as you had 10 Jewish people together, you could have a synagogue. Or you could have also a people who had a certain jurisdiction as well. So that was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the word church is used. And you most probably heard that word before, ecclesia. And ecclesia means, if it's coming actually, it's a composition of two words. And the one is the ek, which means the out of, and the other one is kalein. No, it's not karlein, but it's kalein. And that is to call. So it is out of to call. So we are to call out of. So the church consists of people who have been called out of sin, who have been called out of the world, and have assembled for a common purpose. That is what ecclesia is. And that is what we're supposed to be over here. That we've been called out of the world, we've been called out of sin, for a common purpose together. We as church, and I'm going to talk about those four things this afternoon, we are God's building. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's bride. And we are the Holy Spirit's temple. That is what we as church should be. And I'm going to start with that we are God's building. We are God's building. And of that building, Jesus is the founder, Jesus is the foundation, and Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the founder of the church. If we read Matthew 5-7, the Sermon on the Mount, it's the constitution of the kingdom of God, what Jesus is giving over there. Actually, the constitution of the church, it's given over there. He's the founder of the church. Jesus is the founder of the church. Jesus is also the foundation of the church. And it's for me always so awesome to see when we pray with intercession beforehand how people are getting words which I know are going to be mentioned in a sermon afterwards. So somebody got a word as well that he wanted to pray about Jesus Christ being the foundation of the church. And it's written as well in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. There is no other foundation. Jesus is the foundation of the church. It was Paul wrote it over there where he was talking to the people of Corinthians, where they were talking about who is the better one. And then he said, I may be planting, Apollo is maybe watering, but it's God who's giving the wisdom. But the foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus is also the builder. And I can imagine somewhere that he's the architect. So if he's the architect and he's the builder, then he knows what has got to be built because he's got that plan as well. We sometimes see a house which they're going to start building and then we think about it, okay, how is it going to look like? The architect knows. Because he already made a drawing. He already did the planning. He already knew beforehand how it was going to look like. And this is what Jesus is doing over here as well. He's the builder. And he said it to Peter. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. It's not I'm now starting to build, but I am going to build. It was going to be in the future. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The church is not being built on Peter. But the church has been built on the testimony what Peter gave just before that, where he said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Because that is the foundation. That is where somebody can build on such a testimony. That is that we are God's building. The next one is that we are Christ's body. Now we are a body, and I think you must probably all have heard sermons about it. Different parts, we've got to work together. And my hand will most probably say to my eye, you're nothing. You're doing nothing. You're just sitting there and looking around. You're doing nothing. The hand, I'm working. I'm holding, washing the dishes, brooming, cutting the lawn. You're actually doing nothing. I can throw you away. But if the eye is not there, the hand doesn't know where to touch. So we need each other. We've got to be linked up to each other. And that's so beautiful, put together in 1 Corinthians 12, from 20 to 27. As it is, there are many parts, but there's one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Because if the head wants to go somewhere, he needs the feet. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weakened or indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together. God has put the church together as well. And I can give you a testimony about it. We were approximately half a year over here, and we were sitting at the top of people, group of six or seven together, and we said, but we are now the church. And then we said, let's have a look what God has given us. And we did the test, the gifts of the Father, or the redemptive gifts. And all of us were different. We were complementary to each other. And then we looked at each other and we said, how is that possible? How is it possible that can God, in such a small group, put everything together? And there you can see part of God's plan again, that he puts those together who needs each other and who can help each other like the parts in a body. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts shall have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. That's what we've got to do in the church as well. If there's somebody who's battling, then we can't say, we leave that person over there. But we go to that person and say, where can we help you with? What can we do together? And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And then we are glad along with it. Two people have been baptized this morning. Yes, outside, not over here, with warm water, but outside. Are we glad about it? We are joyful together with them. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. We, church, are the body of Christ. And each one of us is a part of it. Each one of us is a living part of that body. And we've got to work together. We've got to be one body. We cannot say, okay, that one I'll leave or that one I'll leave. And if my one hand is not doing anything and my other hand has got to do everything with that one hand, it doesn't work. Each and every one has got to bring his part, that as a body that we can work together. The church is also Christ's bride. And here I've got a part of scripture where God is referring then, or where Paul actually in a letter to Ephesians is referring then to the couple, the husband and the wives. And then he first speaks to the wives and he said, wives, submit you to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives to be the husbands in everything. And then you think, in today's world, what we've got outside, with all the feminism, that type of thing, no, it cannot work. Sorry, that's an old book. Today it doesn't work. It works. Because God is the creator of heaven and earth. God is the creator of us. If we need something and we're working with something, not all of us, but we should go and have a look in the manual, how we've got to use it. And God's word is the manual. So we can take this and we can implement it. Let's have a look at the next sentence. Husbands, love your wives. I'm a husband, 35 or 36 years. I'm not quite sure because it changes each and every year. But I've got to love my wife. I've got to look her in the eyes each and every day. And I've got to say to her, I love you. And I cannot mistreat my wife. I cannot use her as a carpet and walk over her if I'm going to say, I love her each and every day. I can't. And it's so beautiful again of what God has done, how he's put it in that manual. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church. Because what did Christ? Christ, he gave himself for the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he may present her to himself as a glorious church. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That also means that we are continuously in a process. We cannot say, okay, shofar church today, but all the things what we're doing wrong inside and outside the church, that's how God has got to take us as Christ's bride. No, we're continuously busy with that, to get the spots, the wrinkles, to get them out. That we are continuously busy with that, that we are prepared to look at ourselves. So we had a look at God's building, at Christ's body and Christ's bride, and now we're having a look at the Holy Spirit's temple. The Holy Spirit is something which I experienced only later in my life. And things changed inside and outside. And of those who attend Encounter one day will hear what I'm saying now, they will hear more or less exactly the same. They will hear it with that course as well. Because if we're accepting the Holy Spirit, we're inviting the Holy Spirit, then something is changing. We're going to become the image of Christ, and we're going to bear the fruits of which we can read in Galatians 5. That's what's going to happen on the inside. We're going to bear those fruits. But on the outside, the Holy Spirit is giving us power, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through us. When I was younger, I never would thought about it, that it would happen in my life, that I could pray for somebody and that somebody could be healed. If you would have asked me 25 years back, I would have said, you're nuts. But it's happening. Or did you get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody? It is possible. God wants to give that to us. And that is that we can be the Spirit, the temple for the Holy Spirit. If we take a look at the church, when was the church launched? When the Holy Spirit was poured out. They went to the upper room. We also have got an upper room over here. They prayed over there, went outside. Peter started preaching, and the people were added to the church. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is where the church started. So we can see how important it is that the Holy Spirit is linked up to the church. In Acts 2, it's talking about the people being added to the church. Then those who gladly receive his word were baptized. And his word is then Peter's words. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's a lot. That's a lot for that town at that site. David told me just before the sermon that he was in Nigeria, where 1.4 million were attending over there, and 1.4 million gave their hearts to Jesus with Reinhard Bonke. But Jesus said, you're going to do more things greater as what I've been doing. It is possible. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So there we can see the church with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church was launched, the church started, and people were added to the church. And we are the temple. We are the temple for the Holy Spirit. In our personal capacity, but also as a congregation over here. We are the temple. I took 1 Corinthians 3 verses 16. It's actually very easy to remember because John 3:16 everyone can remember. So 1 Corinthians 3:16 is also easy to remember. And I took it out of the Amplified. And it actually says it so beautifully. do not discern or understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has a permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church, but also individually. So the Holy Spirit wants to be in us. We are a temple. Beautiful said over here. So that's the church. Is the church important to God? The church is very important to God. Now I want to talk a little bit about the first verses out of Revelation, and that we can just see how important the church is for God. That God wants to work through the church, and that God wants to be linked up with the church. It's not that with the Holy Spirit and then launched the church and said, okay, we'll see what's going to happen and maybe something is... No. God is very interested in the church. He wants to be involved in the church. I'm going to read a few verses out of Revelation. First one is the one of Revelation 1 verses 9. And it's John speaking over there. Now John has been sent to the island of Patmos. He was no longer in Ephesus, where there was a very big church. And as I was busy with that, I felt that the Lord also said, there's somebody in the church today who has got to receive this message. You are in a town at the moment, or in circumstances, who are taking a lot of your attention. You cannot hear God's voice. And this is most probably also why John, the revelations, why he didn't receive it in Ephesus. We would have seen a much shorter letter, or maybe a few scriptures, and then it was finished. But God put him on Patmos and said, now I want to speak to you, John. Now you must write down. That person who's battling to hear God's voice in the circumstances where you are at the moment, you also have got to go to a Patmos. You also have got to go to a place where it's not busy. I don't know how, what. Take your Bible, take your notebook, and take your pen. Maybe not a bicycle on a day like today, but go somewhere and say, Lord, here I am. Like John on Patmos. I'm far away from Ephesus. Here I am. Speak to me. I want to hear what is on your heart. And I can tell you, if you're going to take that step and you're going to God, then God is going to come and he's going to speak to you. I don't know who it is. Maybe there's more than one. If it's a message for you, please take it home and use it, because God wants to speak to us. And there it starts. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because why has he been put on Patmos? The Romans didn't like what he was doing. The Romans didn't like that he was bringing the word of God, and the Romans didn't like that he was testifying of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And they got him out. But then, beautiful again, how a situation which is done by the world is taken by God and is then turned around for the benefit of us. And John is over there, he says, I'm a brother. He was an apostle. He didn't come and say, okay, I'm an apostle John. Remember that one who put his head on Jesus' breast? That's me. No, he's a brother. Very humble. Because an apostle is testifying of what Jesus has done for him. But over here, he's a brother prophesying into the future of what God wants to do with his church. And then he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in that area, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was meditating on God's word. He opened himself up and he said, Lord, speak to me. He was ready to receive. And then God spoke to him. I I am the, of Jesus speaking to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Again, Jesus is confirming who he is. Reciting of what we read in Isaiah 44 verses 6 as well, where it says, I'm the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. John knew those scriptures. Before Jesus is giving, he's starting. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And then he says something very beautiful, and he says, what you see, write in a book. For us, it's very easy to write down what another person is saying. But if I have to write down what I see in 2 minutes over here, I can do it in one sentence, but I can do it in maybe in a movie of 2 hours exactly the same as well. It depends on what are you doing with it. It's very difficult what Jesus was telling him. What you see, write in a book. For us, it's much easier what we hear to write it in a book. So John's vision, he wrote it down in a book, that we could have it in a book and that we could read it. And then he says the seven churches. And the seven churches is the number, is telling that it is a number of completeness. There were many churches over there, but it was just telling that it's a complete plan what God has got with the churches. And John is now writing those seven letters to the seven churches. He carries on in verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. So John is turning around. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass. And if refined in his furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. I turned around to see the voice that spoke with me, and I saw seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is in the midst of the church. In the midst of the seven churches. Jesus is not a spectator somewhere on the sideline having a look at the churches. Jesus is in the midst of it. And Jesus is in our midst today as well. We've been singing it as well. We welcome Jesus in our midst over here. He's involved with the church. He wants to be involved with the church. That's where Jesus is, in the midst of the churches. And the lampstands or the churches. The lampstands are supposed to give light. The lampstand itself doesn't give light. The lampstand is holding the light. And the Holy Spirit is the light which has got to be in the church. In one of the churches as well, it's also talking about that Jesus is saying, I'm going to take that lampstand away. One like the Son of Man. And that is a title what we heard before from Jesus, that he says, I'm the Son of Man. That is who he is. For the people on the earth to understand it. But Peter knew it. You're the Son of the living God. Golden lampstand also refers to the purity and the value of it. The church is very important for God. Because the first thing where Revelation starts about, it starts about the church. It doesn't talk about heaven. It doesn't talk about other things. It talks about the church, how important the church is for God. Revelation 1 verses 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. And then Jesus is explaining to him, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And he says, the mystery of the seven stars. Jesus knew the mystery, so he could explain the mystery. He could explain to John over there what it actually meant, those seven stars. Where it says the seven stars or the angels. Two different ways of thinking. The one says each and every church has got an angel. And they even go even a little bit further and it says each and every person has got an angel. Each and every person has got a guardian angel. And they've got certain scriptures to prove that as well. But there's another which says, another way of thinking which says, but the angels are referring to the most responsible person in that specific church, the one who's responsible for what is happening in that church. Whichever we're going to see it, the angel, the translation, it's a messenger. And it's not about the messenger, but it's about the message. What is the content of the message, what Jesus has got over there? And then after the Revelations 1:20, which is the last scripture of Revelation 1, it carries on with 2 and 3. And then you've got the seven churches where the letters are going to. And each and every one has got certain aspects which are identical. How it's observed, what they're doing wrong, what they're doing right, what has got to change. But then there's one sentence which we find in all seven of them. And that sentence is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So how important it is that the churches must be linked up with the Holy Spirit. It cannot be separated. We cannot work without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there for communication between us and God. Maybe you're going to think a little bit strange if I'm going to say that now. But if the church hasn't got the Holy Spirit, it's not a church. It's just a club. If we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in this church, if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in us, we're not a church and we're not a believer. We're following Christ, but we're not communicating with God because we're not allowing the Holy Spirit. A lot of my life, many, many years, I didn't experience the Holy Spirit. But once the Holy Spirit started revealing things of God to me, when I opened up for the Holy Spirit, that's where the change came. And this is what God also wants to have over here, and what God wants to speak to us today about. The church has got to be open for the Holy Spirit. We've got to have the doors open. We've got to be open that the Holy Spirit can flow through us, that the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be seen inside the church and outside the church. If we take a look from creation to where we're here now with the words what we've got from Jesus to John, then we see that God created heaven and earth. The enemy got it right to deceive Adam and Eve, so the relationship was broken. Then Jesus was sent to restore that relationship again. When Jesus was over here, he also was the founder. He was the foundation, and he was the builder of that church. Sorry. And then when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, the church started working. The church was launched. And God cares about the church. Jesus is walking in the midst. Jesus is walking with us and with the churches. And the church, like we heard it in that last verse as well, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We've got to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has got to say to us. We cannot exist without the Holy Spirit, and we cannot live without the Holy Spirit. And God is asking us today, Shofar Utrecht, are you hearing what God is saying? Are you listening to what God is saying? You heard it in the announcements. We do intercession on a Tuesday, and then we listen to what God is saying to us. And God spoke to us last Tuesday, and God said, The Lord is warning us that we've got to be careful for false prophets. So we've got to be careful for that. So now we are looking for it. Is there something that we've got to be careful for? But maybe that we are careful, that we also can close the doors before something is going to happen. And that's helping us. That's helping us, the church. So we're not going to sit and wait what is going to happen, but we can speak and we can hear what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the churches. So today God wants us to understand who and what is churches. But God also wants to ask that, also wants us that we should have a look at ourselves, because we can have a look at the church, but first of all, the church cannot exist if we are not believers, because it's a gathering of believers, what we heard in the beginning. So we have got to be a believer. We have got to have that relationship with God, that we can be a believer and that together that we can be a church, that we can be part of the body, and that we also can be part of the bride. And when I was busy with the sermon, I realized how I actually was busy with preparing for the prayer and fast next week. And I thought, but how is that possible? Because when I read the points which have been given to us, where the global fast and prayer should be going about, I saw that similarity of what I've been speaking about today. In the first day, we're going to understand who God is, and we're going to thank God for choosing to reveal himself to us. And we're also going to ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh revelation of God's character. We start with the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us, that we know who we are and what God wants us to do. And day two, we're going to understand who we are, and together with trusted friends, share an area of vulnerability, of weakness that tends to lead you away from his living waters, and meditate upon what the word says about your identity and your purpose in him. And also in that week, take time to declare the truth of yourself daily. And in the third day, it's about loving our neighbors. Pray for understanding and wisdom to know how you can practically love the Lord and serve those around you. Share this within your small group, as a couple or a family or as a local congregation. And pray that your local leader and chauffeur apostolic team of apostolic leadership, that they would step in the priorities of the Holy Spirit for 2020. Again, hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying. We as church cannot work without the Holy Spirit. And we as a believer can also not work without the Holy Spirit. We're now going to sing a song which I would call a ministry song. And I'm going to ask you to forget about the person who's sitting next to you, who's standing behind you, or whatever the case is. Go mad if you want to. But try to read those words and sing those words out of your heart and open yourself up that you can say, Lord, build your kingdom, build your church. First in your heart. And if you've got kingdom in your heart, then it's so much easier to be a church around here, to live it out. We're going to sing this song as a ministry song, and really take time. Speak to God and read those words, sing them. And if you want to lift your hands, if you want to grab a flag, or if you want to kneel, or whatever you want to do, feel free. Forget about the one next to you. Don't worry about that person. It's between you and God.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.